You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Sing that chorus again. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, as I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Something a little different this morning. I had another message prepared, but I feel impressed to make a change on that today. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. And this may be a day, you know, usually I preach extensively. This may be a day when I will not preach quite as extensively. I don't know. On the other hand, we may be here till 5 o'clock. You never can tell. But several weeks ago, and by the way, if you have a special request for a song that you would like to do, if you'll just tell me that, if you'll give me that request or just write a note, put it in the offering plate or whatever, we'll try to work it into our praise and worship if you have something special. Several weeks ago, one of you spoke the name of a song to me that you just love to sing, and we haven't sung it in a long time. And I promised you we would. And I tucked it away and made a mental note of it. And at the time when you said that to me, it brought to mind this scripture passage. And I've read over it several times since then, over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, whatever. And every time I read it, it just blesses me. And I thought, okay, at a convenient time, we'll read this passage and I'll speak from it and we'll sing this special song. So today we're going to do that. I didn't know we were going to do that today, but we are. So Ezekiel chapter 47. Now the entire passage here in Ezekiel, this particular passage, begins in begins back about chapter 40, and it is a vision that Ezekiel is given by God, and the vision is very extensive. chapter 40, verse 2, in the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel, and he set me upon a very high mountain, and so on. And verse 4, he says, declare everything you see to the house of Israel. And he begins to show Ezekiel things about the rebuilt Jerusalem and the rebuilt city. And verse 41, he shows him the rebuilt temple. And verse 42, portions of the temple. And 43, about the gate and the glory of God. And verse 44, the outer sanctuary, or chapter 44, the outer sanctuary. And 45 and 6, more about the sanctuary and the worship and so on. And then chapter 47 is probably a passage that is most familiar to us from all of these various passages. And what Ezekiel saw was water flowing out of the temple. Now, it reminds us of the passage that is in the book of Revelation. In fact, I'm going to be a little disorganized this morning because I haven't prepared this, all right? I've got it in here, but it's not in here yet, and so the way it comes may be, so you may need a lot of fingers. So hold your finger here in Ezekiel 46 and go with me to Revelation 22. We'll be back to Ezekiel. And I may, when we study Paul's letters, you've heard me say that Paul was a rabbit chaser. That Paul would get on a particular subject and he's right in the middle of a thought. And something else would hit him and he'd go chase that. I call that chasing a rabbit. He'd go chase that rabbit for two or three verses or two or three chapters. And then he'd come back and pick up his original thought and he'll, you know, a little bit more. And then something else would hit his mind right in the middle of that thought. And he'd go chase that rabbit for a while and until he had that one cornered. And then he would come back to his original thought. And so when you're reading Paul's letters, sometimes they're hard to follow because he's off chasing rabbits all the time. Now, they're always important chases, but his writings are not terribly well organized. That he gets a thought and he carries it all the way through, and when he finishes it, he gets another one and he goes on with that. But they're all mixed in there together. And so I may be teaching along that, using that technique teaching this morning. In the 22nd chapter of Revelation, John the Revelator saw also a vision. This vision is a vision of the new earth. Chapter 21 talks about a new heaven and a new earth, and John goes on to describe it. And this is something that is occurring in the new earth, in the recreated earth, when the kingdom of God finally comes and eternity is ushered in. You all know that according to the second letter of Peter, the third chapter, the earth that we're currently living in is going to burn up. And this is why we don't want to get too excited about anything that we have here. Lois and I are building a house right now, but we know that eventually it's going to burn up. Now, we pray it won't burn up until after we're finished using it, but the day will come when no matter what we do with it, it will fry. You know those jewels that you have stored at home or in your safe deposit box, your valuables? You know they're going to cook. It's all going to be gone. Everything, Peter said, will be burnt up with a fervent heat until there's nothing left. And then God is going to create a new heaven, a new atmosphere, and a new earth in which is righteousness and justice, and it's going to be the way he intended for it to be in the very beginning when he created it in the story that we find in Genesis 1 and 2. And in the new earth, God will be the light. There will be no sun because the light will be God himself, and he will dwell in the earth among men. This was always his idea. This is always what he wanted to do in the beginning. It wasn't that God had intention to create an earth and put man on it and he'd live way off in the third heaven. The reason he created man was to have fellowship with him in the first place. And so he created man, put him here, and it was his intention to dwell with him forever. That plan simply was delayed, not changed, only delayed. It will eventually come to pass. And so we find in the 22nd chapter that God has established his temple here in the earth, his dwelling place where he is. And verse 1, John says, he showed me a pure river of water of life. It is from this image that this particular Christian ministry is named, the Water of Life Christian Center. This water of life is clear as crystal, and it proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, we know that the water of life that is being described here, this is physical water, but its spiritual implication is it is identified as the Holy Spirit. In other words, life is flowing from God himself. And the Holy Spirit brings life everywhere he goes. And that's what this water is going to do, is bring life everywhere everything it touches. It comes from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, verse 17, we jump down to that. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the theme verse for this Christian ministry. Whomsoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit of God is offered freely to every man. Let every man drink deeply. Now, we go back to Ezekiel again, and I believe that what God was showing Ezekiel was a preview of what John saw in Revelation 22. And as I read through this, I want to make a simple but very profound point. Verse 1, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, the door of the temple, the dwelling place of God. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So Ezekiel sees this water flowing from the temple. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand, now Ezekiel has a guide in this vision. This guide is an angel. And the angel has a measuring tape in his hand. The line that is being described here is a measuring line. And through the chapters that preceded chapter 47, Ezekiel watches the measuring taking place, and such measures this many cubits and so on and so forth. And that's what is being referred to here. When the man that had the line in his hand went forward eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits or 1,500 feet. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. So this is the image. Ezekiel said that he saw water coming from the throne of God. This water brings life everywhere and to everything it touches. And he said that out a certain distance from the throne of God was water that when I walked in it, it was up to my ankles. He said then he measured again another 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were now up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through that water, and the waters were to the loins. So we could say here, it's getting pretty deep, isn't it? The further he goes with the man, the deeper the water gets. First to the ankles, then to the knees, then to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. In other words, when I went further, the the water was over my head, that you couldn't walk in it. You couldn't pass through it. You had to swim. Now, what might God say to us about this vision? What might there be in this image to us? I tell you what it says to me. It says to me that you can go about as deep in God as you want to. You can go ankle deep if you want. Some people don't even want to go ankle deep. They just want to, you know, you've seen them at the beach, haven't you? They put their toe in like this. They just kind of tippy toe in it, touch it, make sure it's not going to bite them, check the temperature, make sure that so on. Then you see others that as they walk along the beach, they're fully clothed, but they have their pants legs up, rolled about this high, and they're right along the edge. And they just get their feet wet. Then there are others that will walk out a little deeper, and they're up to here. You'll have others that are out there, and they're fighting the waves. The waves are crashing against them, and the water's up to here, and they're standing against the waves. And then you find others that would just get up on top of the waves, and they would just... Christians are like that. You have those that the unbeliever, of course, will never go near the water. You look at the water, but he won't even put his foot in it. We have Christians who will put their foot in it. We have others who will get up to the ankles. We have others that want more of God, and they'll get to the knees. We have others that want more and more of God. Once they get to the knees, ooh, this feels good. I want some more. And they walk deeper into the Lord, and now it's up to the loins. Whoa, this is wonderful. I want more. And they walk in, it's up to their chest. Oh, this is so good. I want more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Give me more of you. And they keep walking. A strange thing happens. In just the same way, if you walk into natural water and keep walking, eventually what will happen is your feet will leave the ocean floor and you will rise. This is exactly what happens when you get in God. When you are walking, you are in your own strength, aren't you? You're walking in your own wisdom. You're walking, you have complete control. When you walk in the water up to the ankles, up to the knees, up to the loins, you're in complete control. You can turn around and walk away. You can walk this way. You can walk this way. You can walk this way. You can stand still. But when you get up here, you are completely at the mercy of the water. Aren't you? Amen. Now you say amen or oh me, but it's true. You're at the mercy of the water. The same with God. You can either be in control of your life or you can let him have control. We can either live in such a... You can be saved and only walk ankle deep. You know people like that, don't you? They got enough Jesus to get saved, but that's all they want. Now, for me, I want to swim. I don't want to walk. I want to swim. Do you know that you could, let me have an image here. If the water is over your head, there's only one way to get a good distance in that water, isn't there? Is swim. You can't walk it. Suppose you want to cross a river and the river was over your head and it was a mile across. How could you get there? So on your own, not without a boat or anything. You'd have to swim it, wouldn't you? You would have to yield yourself to the water. Do you understand the principle here? You would have to surrender yourself to the water. As long as you are in control and as long as you are in charge, you're dead. Or you'll never get across. Because if you keep walking, it'll come over your head and it'll drown you. I believe that's the imagery that's here. And I believe what the Lord would say to us today is, why don't you get in the water? If you're not born again, get born again. If you're not saved, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you haven't stepped in the water, come on, step in. It's good. Oh, come on, get in the water. Don't stand up on the shore and watch everybody else. Get in the water yourself. Come on, put your foot in it. It won't bite you. It'll bless you. It'll refresh you. And do you know what it'll do? This is the water of life, not the water of death. It's not the water of harm and hurt. It's the water of life. It'll make you alive. Put your foot in it. Once you get your foot in it, those of us who have our foot in it, let's keep walking in. Let's don't stop and let's not sit down and say, well, this is good. I'm born again now and I'm saved and I've got my ticket. And when the train goes out to heaven, I just show my ticket. Here it is. I'm going to be on it. No, let's go on. Let's get filled with the Holy Ghost. What do you mean get filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, let's just let him fill us with himself. If you're talking about the tongues business, all that stuff, and speaking unknown languages, yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Let's go ahead and get it up to the knees. And once we're up to the knees, let's go in a little further. Let's keep walking into God. Let's just keep moving into him. Jesus said it this way. He said, the kingdom of God is such that the violent take it by force. We're all different. And we all have different motivations, and we all have different passions, and we all have different intensities. Now, I think Jesus was referring to this when he talked about he told us the parable of the sower. You remember how the sower put the seed on various types of ground? And on some ground, of course, he didn't get any produce, but even the ground that did produce, the good ground, some ground gave forth 30-fold increase. Other ground gave forth 60 times. And other soil produced 100 times. That explains that it says to us that we're different. We're all different. We can produce 30 or 60 or 100. I think it just seems to me that we ought to have a desire to produce as much as we possibly can. And the way we do that is by pressing into God. Lord, I'm not satisfied with things the way they were. I had a hard time understanding this at first. Jesus said to the woman at the well in the 4th chapter of John, he said, you know, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink, because he that drinks of the water I have will never thirst again. That water will be in him, a well springing up to everlasting life. He'll never get thirsty again. Well, when that water sprung up in my life and I was born again, I was still thirsty. It was a different kind of thirst. It's not the thirst to know him. It's a thirst to know him better. Does that make sense to you? And so when he said you'll never thirst again, I don't think he meant you would never be thirsty for the Lord, for more of him. Because we should be thirsty for more of him, it seems to me. We need to be hungry for more of him. I'm not satisfied to be ankle deep. I'm not satisfied to be knee deep. I'm not satisfied to be loin deep. I want to be in over my head. And if somebody can show me how to get over my head, show me how to get over my head. I want to be in there where the only thing I have to depend upon is him. Because as long as my feet can touch the ground, you've experienced this when you go swimming. You feel safe, don't you? I mean, even when you're like this, if you can just bounce up and down once in a while, and as long as you can touch the ground, I feel okay. Because I know I got terra firma under me. But see, that's living in control. That's living, you have control. We have control. We're the one that's really running things. See? We're not letting go until we get over our head. But you say, Pastor, I wouldn't mind getting over my head if I knew how to swim. Dad takes his baby to the swimming pool. And he says, let's go out here to the deep. I'll hold you.
No, I don't want to get out over my head. I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of? I'll hold you up.
No, you won't. You won't hold me. You'll let me fall.
I will not let you fall. I will not let. So what happens? So Daddy holds his hands under him, give him a sense of security and a feeling of I'm okay. Next thing you know, he's,
hey, Dad, I'm swimming.
I think that's exactly the way it is with God. I think that's precisely what he wants us to do. I think he wants us to take our feet off the ground and stretch out and start to swim in the water of his word. Not just walk in, but swim in it. Just get so into God. You cannot understand this with a natural mind. It's like the day Jesus said, there was a group of people around. He said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And they murmured. And they said, whew, this is cannibalism. What is he talking about? Eat his flesh and drink his blood. We can't do that. And so many people departed from him. So he said to Peter and his close disciples, he said, do you leave me too? And Peter said, where would we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. The same principle is here. When we talk about swimming in the water of life and swimming in the Lord and getting deeper in God, you don't understand that with a natural mind. It's something that happens on the inside. Something happens in your heart that says, oh, this water feels so good on my feet. I bet it would feel wonderful on my loins. Oh, it's so wonderful. I'm so hot up here, but I'm so cool down here. Oh, it would feel wonderful if I just walked out a little deeper. If I just got into God a little more. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why is it that so many Christians, once they get saved, they stop seeking? Why is it once we've been born again, we're satisfied? How can we ever be satisfied when he is so immense? He is so deep. He is so wide. He is so broad. And we know so little. Paul prayed for the Ephesian church and he said, Lord, I want the people at the church there at Ephesus to know the length and the width and the breadth and the height of your love for them. We don't have a clue. So how would you go deeper? It's one thing to go to the ocean and you see the water there and it's physical and you just walk out. It's quite another thing to do something that's a spiritual exercise that you don't quite know how to do. Well, you didn't know how to get saved either, did you? You didn't know physically how to do that. If you wanted to get saved and you could go down to Walmart and get it, you would have. But you couldn't get it that way because it's not a physical thing. So what did you do? You called out to the one who could give it. And you said, Jesus, oh Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me, Lord, and give me a new life. I want to live for you. And something happened inside you, didn't it? And you became a different person. Well, how could you walk deeper if you wanted to? Suppose today you said, I want to walk deeper. How could you do that? I'd do it the same way. I'd say, Lord, I want to go deeper with you. I'd say, Lord, I open my life up to you. I open my heart up to you. I'm not satisfied with ankle deep religion. I'm not satisfied with knee deep religion. I'm not set knee deep.
knee deep. Funny how your spirit can go one way and your mind can go another. Knee deep. I'm not satisfied with loin deep religion. I don't want to be half wet. I want to be all wet. I want to be wet all over. I don't want life up to my ankles. I don't want life up to my knees. I want life everywhere. So that's part of what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about, is getting the Spirit of God everywhere, getting baptized in Him, getting immersed in Him. Step one is get born again. How do you get born again? You give your life to Jesus. How do you give your life to Jesus? You say, Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You're the one that God sent. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm in trouble, and I know I need You. And so I ask You to forgive me and come into my heart and give me a new life. Make me a new person. Make me a Christian. That's step one. Then what do I do? Then you say, Lord, I want more of You, more of You, more of You. And somebody tells you about the Holy Ghost and how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I see you. I see you. Here's a Baptist girl. Didn't know any about this. She'd been ankle deep, or maybe she'd even been knee deep. I don't know. But somebody over here was a swimmer. A friend of hers was a swimmer and brought her here, and she heard about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then one day she brought her daughter in for some, they were having some trouble. Remember that day, sweetheart? In the same river that day, one of them got in the water to start, got in ankle deep, okay, got born again. The other one jumped in all the way. It weighed out a little bit deeper. That's right. Yes, you heard about that. So, I want that. How can I get that? And someone showed her how. Someone showed her how. You just recently been saved, haven't you? Just recently given your life to the Lord. Yes. You heard about that. You had a friend, you know, and you knew that was real. You tasted of her water. He said, I want some of that. He showed you how. Bingo. See, that's how you go deeper. See, just go all the way. See, don't stop there. Just go all the way. Now, sometimes we need somebody to help us, you know, how can we go deeper? Sometimes we don't know what knee-deep is. Knee-deep. We'll title this message, Lois, Knee-Deep. Sometimes we don't know until somebody tells us, explains it to us and shows us how. But I can tell you this, if you had nobody to show you how, if you had nobody to explain it to you, all you would need would be a hunger and a thirst. And God. And He'll take you. He'll take you. Listen to me. Listen to me and listen to me good. You are not limited insofar as how deep you will with God by me. You can go deeper than I've ever been if you want to. You may be more thirsty than I am. You may be more hungry than I am. You may have more passion for the things of God than I do. You can go deeper than me. I pray you will. And lead me in. I want to go deeper. I want to swim. I want to get to the place where we're working outside, as you know. And it's amazing. I didn't mention this to you, Jerry, but the other day we were working out there on the roof. And we're up 20 feet. Neither of us are all that bold. Jerry bolder than I am, but neither of us are, you know, all that bold, you know, 20 feet up. I looked in the air and I could barely see this, that this hawk was flying so high. Now here we are. We didn't do all that much work per se, but I went to bed at night. I woke up about midnight with screaming because my right leg was cramped. Now, why was my right leg cramped? It was not because I'd done so much work, but I was under this tension all day long, and my muscles were tensed. I didn't realize it when I went to bed. It's great, you know, I went to bed early at 10:30, and it was, Lois comes in the room. I mean, I'm hollering in the room. The pain, I didn't feel pain like that. It was terrible. But I hadn't really done that much work. I realized it when that happened. It was just the tension. I mean, you tense up your leg. Just tense your leg and keep it like that for 10 hours. Don't work. Just tense it. Just tense it up. And see if you won't wake up screaming also. But now here we were on the rooftop on that tent with that tension all day long. Up above us, I don't know, half a mile up or so. I don't mean I don't have any sense of distance, you know, from when you're looking up. Here's this hawk. You know, he was the most relaxed thing I think I've ever seen. Not a feather was fluttering. Not a wing was moving. He was just... And we saw hawks around all day, you know, when we were working out there. But this one particular was way up there, way up. Not motionless. Motionless. We still had our feet on the ground. He was swimming. He was in the big water. And the water was holding him up. Just a beautiful thing. Effortless. And I guarantee you that when he went to sleep that night, he did not have any cramps in the middle of the night. And I think it can be that way for us too. When you go to the ocean and you go, I kind of enjoy when we get to go to the ocean and stand there and kind of stand against the waves and let them crash on you and try to stand against them, you know, just kind of a challenge to see if you can do that. But how much easier to just let your feet get up off the, and just kind of go with the flow. So, Lord, we want to go deeper. Amy, let's have you at the piano for just a moment. And you remember this?
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His Word. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. You can't really sing this song seated. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His Word. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His Word. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. So if we want to go deeper into God, we could go deeper in our prayer life, couldn't we? Lord, take us deeper into You. We could spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost. Lord, lead us into the deeper things of God. We could go out a little bit deeper in the water of His Word, couldn't we? We spend more time in His Word. Develop ourselves in the Word of God. Step into the water and wade out a little bit deeper. We could go deeper in God in our praises. Some of us praise God like this. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His Word. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. That's fine. That's only about knee deep. Then there are those, step into the water. Oh, wait a little bit deeper. Put your feet in the water of His Word. Oh, step into the water. Oh, got a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. So see, we can get in the water into praise too. We get freed up in that. For some of us, you know, singing is getting ankle deep, and maybe some of us would be bold enough to clap. Knee deep. Knee deep. Somebody might be willing to do a little up to the loins. And then somebody might just want to go nuts and get in over their heads in praise. Prayer, word, praise, however we do it, however each of us do it, let's go deep. Let's just go deeper. Let's go as deep as we can possibly go. And let's get in there where we are swimming. Step into the water, way a little bit deeper. Of His Word. Oh, step into the water. Oh, that a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises too. One more time. Oh, step into the water. Way down a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His Word. Oh, step into the water. Oh, way down a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.